Hey guys, it's Zarth the Mike, and welcome to the 12th episode of Global Groove, the show where politics gets spicy beyond the West. I'm here to talk about the big moves, the small wins, and everything in between, from the streets of Sao Paulo to the corridors of Beijing. That's right, forget the usual political snooze fest. I'm diving into the stories you won't find in your typical Western headlines. If you're new here, hey, how are you? Welcome. I hope you're ready for the political roller coaster I'm going to take you on. For my day ones, welcome back. You know what to do. Buckle up and enjoy the ride. Now, before we get into today's topic, quick update. I know, I've been off the grid for a bit. And to be honest, I needed a break from the overwhelming news of what's going on in the world. Also, the Mozambican series, we're putting a pin in it. Not because things are fixed, spoiler alert, they're not. But because once again, a real issue got swept under the rug. Tucked away like that one drawer in your house that nobody opens. So, until Mozambique gets its moment back in the spotlight, we move forward. And today, we're getting into something that affects basically the whole African continent. The invisible, yet very real scars left by colonialism. Buckle up, because we're talking borders. Yes, lines on map. Not just any lines. These ones were drawn by European guys in suits who'd never been to most of Africa, carving up land like it was a pizza, and completely ignoring the people actually living in it. I mean, who needs local knowledge when you've got a ruler and zero accountability, right? Let's get real. A huge part of the violence, instability, and authoritarian rule we see today, well, it didn't just happen. It's the result of those arbitrary borders and brutal extractive systems set up by colonial powers. Take Angola or Nigeria, for example. Places hit hard by the slave trade. They're still grappling with deep economic challenges, while countries like Botswana, which were more isolated and spared some of the damage, have generally fared better. Geography was destiny, and not in a good way. Ever notice how Africa's map looks especially like a giant game of Tetris? Straight lines, right angles, zero regard for the people living there. Ethnic groups were sliced apart like birthday cake. Hausa split between Nigeria and Niger, Maasai between Tanzania and Kenya, Jolas between Senegal and Guinea-Bissau. I mean, did no one stop to ask, hey, should we maybe not divide communities in half? Somalia's flag literally tells the story. That white star with 5 points, it represents the Somali people scattered across 5 different colonial territories. So yeah, even flags are doing the heavy lifting of decolonial storytelling. And here's something wild. Researchers have found that even trust levels between communities in Africa today, yes, trust, can be traced back to the trauma of the transatlantic and Indian Ocean slave trades. When your ancestors were being sold, betrayed, or uprooted, it's not exactly a recipe for long-term community bonding. That stuff doesn't just go away. It lingers. It shapes everything from politics to relationships to national identity. So next time someone tries to tell you that Africa's issues are just about bad governance or internal conflict, remember, history didn't just happen to Africa. It was done to Africa. And those consequences are still playing out every single day. But don't worry. We're not just here to rage at the past, we're here to understand it, challenge it, and most importantly, figure out what's next. And speaking of borders messing things up, let's talk about one of the most explosive examples, the Democratic Republic of Congo in Rwanda. I've had the chance to meet Gael Faye. If you don't know him, he's a French Rwandan author, director, producer, and musician, who you might know for writing and producing Petit Pays, or writing his latest book, Jacques Aranda, or maybe singing Chaloupé. If you'd like to know more about him, don't hesitate to check out Olivia's Que Dire podcast, where she explained who he is, and his book, Petit Pays. Or you could check out Célimène's Coup de Cœur podcast, where she also talks about the book and the movie. Anyways, I asked him what he thought of my podcast topic and what I could add to it, and he helped me figure out which country to focus on. So, if you've ever looked at Central Africa and thought, wait, why is there always conflict there? Well, spoiler alert, colonialism did not help. When the borders were drawn, nobody cared about the centuries of migration, trade, kinship, and identity that existed long before Europeans even knew how to pronounce Kivu. So, what happened? The colonial powers, particularly Belgium, threw different ethnic groups together into one giant state. Hello, DRC, land of riches and more. And at the same time, they pushed others out of their traditional homelands, cue the Rwandan situation. In the colonial era, and especially during the Belgian rule, Rwandese people, particularly the Tutsi, moved or fled across into what is now Eastern DRC. These migrations weren't always voluntary. Some were seeking refuge from ethnic violence in Rwanda. Others were literally moved as labor by colonial authorities. And once again, nobody asked the colonial communities how they felt about it, like always. Fast forward to the 1990s. The Rwandan genocide explodes in 1994, leading to Tutsis, the victims of this genocide, trying to flee the massacre. But it also led to, at the end of the genocide, many Hutu civilians fleeing Rwanda out of fear. But a significant number were actually perpetrators of the genocide escaping justice. They flooded into eastern Congo, especially north and south Kivu, further deepening ethnic tension with Tutsi communities already there. This inflamed the situation, leading to two Congo wars, the deadliest conflict since World War II, with millions dead. That's not a footnote, that's a catastrophe. And yes, it all traces back to arbitrary colonial borders and population displacement that created a pressure cooker of history grievance, competition for land and power, and foreign intervention. To this day, Eastern Congo remains unstable, partly because those tensions have never been resolved. Rebel groups, many with links to Rwanda, still operate in the region. The Congolese state struggles to exert real control. And meanwhile, global powers such as China, Switzerland, and the US are still happily extracting Congo's minerals while ignoring the human cost. So yeah, those lines on a map, they were never just lines. They were traps, and places like the DRC are still trying to untangle the mess colonialism left behind. But don't get discouraged. When we understand the root cause, we can challenge the lazy narrative that blames African nations without ever naming the system that broke them in the first place. But, and this is the part I need you to hear, Africa isn't sitting still. Pan-Africanism is rising. New generations are questioning these borders, these systems, these histories. They're building futures that don't just accept the past, they challenge it. And that, right there, is important. We can't undo the past, but we can name it, we can understand it, and we can refuse to be trapped by the lines drawn by people who never cared what those lines would do. So, that's it for today's episode of Global Groove. A deep dive into borders, betrayal, and the unbreakable spirit of a continent still healing, still rising. Make sure to follow us for more updates. You can find us on Instagram at LFB Web Radio and hit up our website, www.radiolfb.net. Don't forget to share your thoughts, and let's keep this conversation rolling. Until Friday, keep that groove going, stay curious, and stay bold. Here's 24 brand new hours by Proxima Parada to start this week off right. Thank you.
sun is getting